We are very grateful to be here in this auspicious home this evening. Especially happy to see beautiful darshan of Sri Gaurinitai in their wonderful temple. And so many people have come so long distance to attend this program. At least we did. I do not know where we are, but I'm happy to be here. In the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy names is the most suitable means of purifying our heart, awakening our original natural Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who played the role of Yuga Avatar, promoted this chanting in such a way that he did not discriminate who was fit or unfit to receive it. This was very exceptional. There is a story of the extent of his mercy to very fallen souls. One time Lord Chaitanya with his dear devotee Srivas Pandit were walking in the outskirts of Navadvip Dham. As they were walking, they came by one house, and there was so much drinking of wine in that house that the smell of wine just permeated the entire area around it. So Lord Chaitanya smelled the wine and went into the mood of Balaram and started calling out, "Varuni, Varuni!" And Srivas Thakur said, "No, no, it's not Varuni, it's wine." And then they heard these drunken people inside. Just, you know what kind of noise drunken people make. They say all horrible things and nonsensical things. And, of course, in today's society, that is a very high level of kata. People are very attracted to that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Srivas, "I will go in. I will go in and I will give them the holy name and I will deliver them." And Srivas Thakur said, "No, no, my lord, you cannot go in there. It's a place of drunkards. It's a low-class place. You will lose your reputation if you walk in that house." And Lord Chaitanya was in such an ecstatic mood of compassion to deliver those drunkards. And the drunkards were making fun and saying all bad words. Lord Chaitanya said, "I will go in. I will give them Harinam. I will deliver them." And Shiva said, "No, no, you cannot go in. I will go in. No, Lord, you cannot go in." The Lord said, "I'm going." Shiva said, "If you go in, then I will tie a heavy pot around my neck and I will jump in the Ganga and end my life. I cannot tolerate the thought that people will criticize you." So the Lord said, "All right, I will not go." So then the Lord raised his arms and chanted the holy names. And suddenly, all the drunkards inside the house started kirtan of the holy name. They were all crying out, "Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!"
And they were looking at Lord Chaitanya, crying in ecstasy, crying out, "Hari,
Hari! Hari, Hari!"
And they came out of the house dancing in kirtan because they experienced a higher intoxication. Their hearts were filled with devotion to Krishna. They had no more need for any other type of intoxication. The intoxications of this world degrade one's heart, pollute one's mind, and drag one down to the mode of ignorance. But people by nature have a propensity to be intoxicated. But the intoxication of chanting holy names of the Lord in the spirit of devotion liberates the mind, purifies the heart, and gives one a sense of spiritual ecstasy. When Srivas Thakur saw these drunken people, completely purified, chanting Harinam Kirtan, just by the desire of the Lord to be compassionate upon them, without Him even going inside, without Him even saying a word to them, just by His desire, they were liberated. Srivas Thakur wept incessantly. Such causeless mercy. So yes, this is the real spirit of compassion. Because every living entity is looking for pleasure. But in this material society, everyone is looking for pleasure in places where ultimately pleasure culminates in pain. Bhagavad Gita describes, Yehi sansparasaja bhoga dukha jonaya evate adyanta banta konteya nate shudamate punha. That an intelligent person does not take part in these sources, does not take part in the sources of misery, which are the pleasures of this world. Because such pleasures have a beginning and an end. A wise person does not delight in them. But because the nature of the soul is ecstasy, satchit ananda, it has to find pleasure somewhere. If we do not understand spiritual pleasure, then we seek out various forms of material pleasure. They may be in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance, but they are all ultimately sources of misery because they're temporary. You find pleasure in something, you become attached to it, and then by the power of time, either it or you is taken away. But on the spiritual platform, as we realize Krishna, the transcendental happiness in that relationship is eternal and ever increasing. And it is through the chanting of the holy names that we can realize and understand our relationship with Krishna. Krishna explains in the Gita, Param drisva nivartate. This means that you cannot actually give up the search for material happiness unless you experience something higher. The process of neti-neti, negation, can give us some relief from the bondage of sufferings. But it does not fulfill the needs of the soul. But when we experience higher taste, then naturally the lower things are transcended. They become insignificant. Obstacles, temptations, desires, attachments and attractions that appear impossible to overcome are like an ocean. It's like trying to cross an ocean without a boat. Yes, the scriptures explain, either by ourselves or by the help of other conditioned souls, trying to overcome suffering is like trying to cross a shoreless ocean by grabbing on to the curved tail of a dog. Now, you've seen dogs, they do dog paddle. They swim like this. And they actually think they're really good swimmers. But how far can they go from the ocean, and how far can you get holding on to his tail? That's what material society is about. Bhava Sagar is an ocean of material bondage. You cannot cross over. But when we experience the mercy of Krishna, the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, when we actually taste that, then all the insurmountable obstacles of our desires and our egos and our attractions and attachments, it is like crossing over the water contained within the hoof print of a small calf. And that is the gift that the Lord Christ comes to this world to give us. The Lord is so kind, so merciful. Krishna has empowered his very self within the holy name to taste the nectar of the holy name. Is the ultimate fulfillment of all of our desires. Anandam buddhi bharatanam pratipadam punam ratasvara. When the heart becomes clean, the ultimate fulfillment of all of our desires is achieved simply by chanting the holy names. Hanumanji had the power to float rocks on the surface of the Indian Ocean because he chanted the holy name and wrote the name on each rock. Yes? There's a nice little story. Hanuman was putting these rocks in the ocean and they were floating. So Ramchandra, he decided, I'm going to try it. But he went late at night when no one was around. And he put a rock in the ocean and it sank. And Hanuman was behind him laughing. And Hanumanji said, my lord, you are the enjoyer of the spiritual world. To deliver people in this ocean of material existence, you have descended in the form of your name. You have given all your power, all your shakti in your holy name. It was the holy name of the Lord that empowered Hanuman to lift mountains. It was the holy name of the Lord that empowered Hanuman to float those rocks in the ocean. It was the power of the holy name that maintained Sita's life and her chastity, even practically 1 year in the Ashokavan of Ravana in Sri Lanka. It was the power of the holy name that sustained the life and the character of Bharat when he was living for 14 years in Nandigram. You know the story. Bharat went to Chitrakoot to beg Sri Ramchandra, I'll take your 14 years in the forest, you come back and be king of Ayodhya. But Ramchandra was so much teaching morality, so much teaching the highest character, that he refused to do it. He said, no, I must protect my father's word. My father, it is to protect his prestige, it is to protect his honor that I must remain in the forest for 14 years. And he was so strict. Do you know that whole 14 years, he never even entered into a village? Always stayed in a forest. But Maharaj Guha was the king of a jungle tribe. And he said, Ram, you know, come into my little jungle village. There were little thatched huts. He said, no, that's a village. I cannot go there. I will stay out in the outskirts in the forest. But where will you stay? I'll make you a hut. He said, no, just put some leaves on the ground. That is the vow I have taken to protect the honor of my father. He offered him some nice prasad. He said, feed the prasad to the horses, my charioteer. Just give me some fruits and roots. That was the standard of his integrity. For 14 years, when they were after Sita, this is how he showed the first-class character of a son's relation with a father. And to his wife, Sita, how he declared world war against Ravana just to protect the chastity of Sita. Such character of loyalty and faithfulness to wife is not seen in this world. And to his brother Bharat, what was that relationship? How Lord Ramchandra, how much he deeply loved and trusted Bharat. And to his devotee, Jatayu. We know the story. Jatayu fought to protect Sita from Ravana, and his wings were cut off and his legs were cut off. And Ramchandra, although, what was his caste? He wasn't even a human. He was a bird. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, personally, with his own hands, held him in his arms. Jatayu chanted the holy name as he left this body, and Ramchandra sent him to Vaikuntha and personally with his own hands performed the last rites for this bird. Shripad Ramanujacharya, there's a nice story where one of his very, very dear intimate devotees, who was a high Brahmin by caste, he was being criticized severely by some local people. And they even came to Ramanujacharya and said, he performed the last rites for a sudra. What is this? A Brahmin cannot perform last rites for a dead sudra. So they approached. So Ramanujacharya asked him, can you explain? He said, yes, I'm proud of what I have done. Because he was a devotee of Krishna. He was a devotee of Lord Narayan. Therefore, he's above all these mundane designations. A devotee of the Lord is above all designations. Chandramali Swami quoted one very nice verse from the Shastras on Sunday, which describes anyone who sees the deity as made out of stone, anyone who sees the guru as an ordinary man, or anyone who sees a Vaishnav according to caste or other types of material designations, their mind is living in hell. Hare Krishna. Naraka Buddhi. That is reality. He said, this is a Vaishnava. He said, our beloved Lord Ramchandra, he performed the last rites for Jatayu, who was below human, who was a bird. But because he was a devotee, Ramchandra not only performed the last rites with his own hands with great, great love and care, but he was weeping in love for his devotee. So what is my position? When Ramanujacharya heard this, he wept in joy and embraced this devotee and said, yes, you are showing the world what is real knowledge. How much Ramchandra was so faithful to his devotee. What a responsible person. And even after he killed Ravana, just shot that arrow in his heart. Blood came out of all of his 10 mouths and he fell to the ground like a huge tree uprooted by a hurricane. Ramchandra went to Rameshwaram, Setu Banda area, and there he performed puja to Lord Shiva. Why? Because Lord Shiva, Ravana, was Shiva's devotee. So he was showing respect to Lord Shiva because he killed his devotee. And not only that, after that, Ramchandra went to Dev Prayag. How many of you have been to Dev Prayag? Please raise your hand. It's a beautiful place. Should I tell you something about it?
No.
Or are you tired or hungry?
No.
Huh? Thank you, Mataji. You have inspired me. At Gangotri, Ganga came down from the upper planets to this earth by the tapasya of Bhagirath Maharaj. Now, Ganga came in various streams. There's Gangotri there. From Gangotri, the Bhagirath River is coming down. From Badrinath, Badrikashram, the Alaknanda River is coming down. At the place called Dev Prayag, the Bhagirath and the Alaknanda meet. It is Sangam. That is a very holy place. On this earth, it is at that point that the river is called Ganga, when the Bhagirath and Alaknanda meet. It's a beautiful place. In the foothills of Himalayas. Now, on top of a mountain, there's a beautiful little temple. And at that temple, Sri Ramchandra spent many, many years performing tapasya to atone for his killing of Ravana. Now, Ravana was a demon. He was not just a demon. He was a Rakshasa. He was killing every class of human beings. He was eating flesh of humans, drinking blood. He forcibly kidnapped Sita. And Ramchandra gave him every chance. Vibhishan tried to convince Ravana, just give Sita back and live happily. His own wife, Mandodari, just give Sita back and live happily. But Ravana, even Kumbhakarna told him. But he wouldn't listen. He was so infatuated with passion, and he was so proud, so arrogant, couldn't hear anybody. Sometimes when you become proud because of a high, powerful position, you just cannot listen to anybody except your own mind. Have you ever met anyone like that? It's very common in this world. Power corrupts the mind unless a person is really has a humble spirit of servitude and understands nothing is mine. I'm just the servant. Whatever way you like me to serve, I'm happy to serve. That is Vaishnava. Either Maharaj Yudhisthira or King Prataparudra or a sweeper of street. Makes no difference. We're certain. So Ravana was very, very stubborn. So ultimately, it was the will of the demigods, it was the will of everyone that Ravana be killed. So Ram killed. So why did he go to Dev Prayag to perform tapasya? Can anyone say? Would anyone like to? Yes.
Because Ravana was a regular devotee of Shiva.
Everyone is correct. He worshipped Lord Shiva to offer honor to him because he had killed his devotee. And he performed tapasya because Ravana was the son of a great Brahmin. He was the grandson of Pulastya Muni. His father was Vishrada, who was a Brahmin, who was a saintly person. So he was honoring, not Ravana, because he was a rascal, but he was honoring the family line, the forefathers of Ravana, because he killed one of his people. He honored Pulastya Muni. He honored Brahma. So this is how meticulously careful Lord Sri Ramchandra was to be so honorable, so honest, so respectful to every type of relationship in every aspect of his life. So when Bharat came, Ramchandra said, you be the king. Ultimately, Bharat took the sandals, wooden sandals of Ram, and accepted, these sandals will act as king until you return, and I will just be your humble servant. For the whole 14 years, Bharat lived in Nandigram. Have any of you been to Nandigram? Not Nandigram, Nandigram. It's... where is it? It's outside of Ayodhya. You have been? Ayodhya? It's a forest. It's a beautiful place, actually. It's a forest. And there, Bharat, he saw Ram's little thatched hut in Chitrakoot. He made the same kind of thatched hut, but a little less opulent. And made it for himself in Nandigram. He saw that Lord Ram was wearing only tree bark. So he wore a simpler type of tree bark. He saw that Ramchandra from the syrup that was flowing from a banyan tree, he matted his hair, so he matted his hair also. And he only ate some fruits and roots and the urine of cows for 14 years. That was the relationship between Ram and Bharat. How did he do that? The great acharyas say he had the power to be so faithful to his beloved Lord Ram because he took shelter of the power of the holy name. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktish. That all the power of God is within the holy name. If we learn to take shelter of the holy name, the name can help us cross all obstacles, all impediments of life. And by chanting the holy names, the original spiritual happiness that is within us awakens from its deep sleep. And then we become intoxicated. And when we taste the intoxicating nectar of Harinam, we want to distribute that nectar to the whole world. That was Lord Chaitanya. These drunkards who were addicted to wine became addicted to Harinam. Yes? And Srivas Thakur was so happy to see. The Lord did not have to go inside to deliver them. Just by his desire, he delivered them. So if we are sincere, if we are honest, if we are humble, then simply by the desire of the Lord, we will be delivered. Such a small price. Trinadapi sunichena taruva ivasesh amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Just be humble like a blade of grass. It's quite easy, isn't it? No, it's very difficult. But it's also very easy. But we must... Actually, it's only by the grace of the Lord that we can possibly do that. But in order to attract His mercy, we have to try. Bhagavad Gita teaches. If you just endeavor sincerely in a spirit of surrender, I will preserve whatever little you have and I will carry what you lack. If we just really, honestly, earnestly try to be humble, Krishna will give us the realization of real humility. And what is the... Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very simple definition of humility. If I tell you, you will be well-educated, but you may also become fearful. But please understand, when you hear something, you have the responsibility. Should I tell you? Are you sure? Be responsible. Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains that humility is a very deep subject. But he gives a one sentence synopsis of what real humility is about. He says humility is to not expect anything from anyone. Hare Krishna. As long as we expect people to give us this, to do something for us, to honor us, to respect us, that expectation is false pride. Real humility, we really don't expect anyone to do any favors for us. We don't expect respect, we don't expect favors, we simply expect the opportunity to serve others. That is humility. Trinadapi sunichena. To be more humble than a blade of grass. Taror ivasesh. To be tolerant like a tree. Offer all respect to others and expect none in return. To the degree we respect others, Krishna respects us. When we disrespect others, Krishna disrespects us. When we expect honor from others, Krishna disrespects us. And after all, spiritual life is all about our relationship with Krishna. What's the use if we get big position in this world if Krishna is disgusted with us? You're not going to make spiritual advancement. In respecting others, Krishna is pleased with us. When we disrespect others, especially Vaishnavas, no. Krishna is disturbed. We're causing pain to Krishna. Well, Krishna is Atmaram. He's transcendental bliss personified. How can he experience pain? But that's part of his ecstasy. It's the ecstasy of compassion. The Lord is within our heart as Paramatma. Krishna in Goloka is Rasaraj. He's simply enjoying with gopis and gopas. Yes? But his expansion, Paramatma, which is not different from himself, is reciprocated very directly and personally with you. When we disrespect a Vaishnava, we are causing pain to the Lord within our heart. And all of our spiritual advancement is dependent on how pleased he is. Listen very serious. Amanina manadena. To offer respects to others, not for oneself. When we try to live in this way and intensely, attentively, and regularly try to absorb ourselves in the sound of the holy name, Krishna becomes pleased. And when he is pleased by our sincere, honest, and humble endeavor, then Krishna gradually reveals his divine opulences in his name to us. And then, anandam buddhivardhanam, we become intoxicated. But this type of intoxication, if you're driving your car, you will not get in any troubles. This type of intoxication purifies the world around you. And when devotees come together to chant and to dance, that becomes the ultimate spiritual party. Yes? Just recently, I read a message where some Hollywood movie producers decided they're in a movie, they wanted to visit a Hare Krishna temple. I don't know the plot of the movie. It's being made now. But one of the number one biggest movie stars in all of Hollywood was starring in this movie. Very big person. And somehow he was looking for his son or his daughter who was becoming spiritual. So we went to a Hare Krishna temple. And they wanted the devotees to chant in the temple. So he said, you know, just do what you usually do, that's all. Just do what you do. We wanted to be very realistic. So they had all these cameras. And these cameramen are big people, award-winning cameramen from Hollywood movie sets. And they were filming. And the devotees were just chanting and dancing. And at the end, the movie actors, the cameraman, the producers, they were, wow. We thought we had fun in the discos. We thought we had fun in the bars, but you people are really intoxicated. You people are really enjoying. We have never seen anything like this. This is wonderful. Hari-vau. Kevala Anandakanda. Lord Chaitanya's process is very joyful, chanting, dancing, feasting. But in order to really feel the joy, the real joy of chanting, dancing, feasting, we must be honest, we must be sincere, we must be humble, and we can taste the nectar of the holy name and share that nectar amongst each other and with the whole wide world. I thank you very much. What is the time?
8:44.
So should we end here? I will have kirtan if everyone agrees to dance. Now I'm going to ask everyone, if any one of you don't raise your hand, we'll just have prasad. So those of you who will dance in kirtan, please raise your hand. Raise both of your hands. We will pray to Ananta Shesha to come under the floor to protect us.